Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I'm continuing from where Dhrutakarma left off yesterday. What was being discussed yesterday was the third stanza of the Shikshastrika. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humbled state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So I'll begin with text 28. This is chapter 17 of the Adi Lila. For those of you who have books or who are listening on the internet, for even if one cuts a tree, it never protests, nor even if it is drying up and dying, does it ask anyone for water. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The practice of forbearance, trinadapi sunichena, is very difficult, but when one actually engages in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the quality of forbearance automatically develops. A person advanced in spiritual consciousness through the chanting. Excuse me. Just want to take the cover off. A person advanced in spiritual consciousness through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, need not practice to develop it separately, for a devotee develops all good qualities simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra regularly. So why is that? Simply because the Hare Krishna mantra is none different from the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. And when we associate with the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, we associate not only with His eternality, His knowledge, and His bliss absolute, we also associate with all His good, wonderful, amazing qualities. And through the association, those qualities gradually but surely become our qualities. Srila Prabhupada often would give the example of, if you take a cold iron bar and you touch it to paper, the paper will simply remain as paper. No change will take place. But if you take the same iron bar and you place it in fire and leave it there, then the bar will become hotter and hotter and hotter and will begin to take on the properties of fire. And then if you place that iron bar on a piece of paper, the paper will burn just as if you had placed the paper in the fire itself. Similarly, by this association process, associating with the Supreme Lord, who is within His own name, And by that kind of association, we grow closer and closer to the Supreme Lord. And growing closer means that we begin to reflect, we begin to manifest, we begin to express the very qualities which He Himself has. Those qualities already exist in us in a minute, rather invisible form. They rarely manifest because if we rarely associate with the Supreme Lord in a very devoted and conscious, attentive, appreciative way, then what happens is that it's kind of like eating something and throwing your attention elsewhere. So you don't really get the conscious fill or the conscious awareness of the taste in completeness. However, when we concentrate fully on the fruit, then what happens is that the taste of the fruit becomes very much relishable because we are fully absorbed and fully savoring every bit of the mouthful, moving it to the right side, the left side, up and down, until finally it doesn't have any more taste, and then we swallow it. Similarly, when we chant the holy name, and we chant it with full appreciation, with full gratitude, with full surrender, with full gladness, then the holy name, which is non-different from Krishna, feels those wonderful qualities that we ourselves are giving to the holy name, and in turn releases His own good qualities to increase our good qualities and also add qualities or awaken qualities which we have hardly ever even manifested. Deeper feelings of peace, deeper feelings of kindness, deeper feelings of compassion, deeper feelings of love. All of these deeper feelings which are lying dormant, but which we may have expressed in a superficial, not so intense, not so deep way, with Krishna's reciprocity, with His response, with His grace, if you will, we become different, transformed, changed individuals. The important point is consciousness. How conscious are we of Krishna when we chant? So, moving on. Thus, a Vaishnava should not ask anything from anyone else. But the point is here is that Krishna can give it all to you. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. All those qualities that we want are already in us in an invisible, minute degree. And to the degree that we become more and more Krishna conscious, to that degree, we will manifest in greater and greater degree. For example, we have in the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that Uddhava, who is a cousin of Krishna, because he was so devoted to Krishna, so completely surrendered to Krishna, he loved Krishna so much that he not only looked like Krishna, but he expressed himself like Krishna. Even Krishna asked him for advice when they were trying to decide what should be done, whether the prisoners of Jarasandha should be freed should they be freed? Should Jarasandha be killed? That was a question. Or should King Yudhishthira perform the Rajasuya sacrifice? So Uddhava, he mentioned that the first thing that should be done is Jarasandha should be moved out, because he was considered by many, many kings, because he had captured so many, and he had already received from them tribute and loyalty and promise that they would be his allies. Otherwise, he would kill them. So the important person to get rid of in that particular circumstance was Jarasandha, and what ultimately happened is Bhima fought him, Bhima killed him, and then the prisoners whom King Jarasandha was holding, and he was going to offer them in a sacrifice to goddess Kali, they were liberated, they were freed, and they became the allies of the Pandavas. So the point I'm trying to bring is that because Uddhava was so devoted to Krishna, he had all the remarkable, beautiful, glorious qualities that a great devotee should have. But as an example of this, taking it even further, when Uddhava went to Vrindavan on a mission, if you will, to see the gopis whom Krishna had left, and he had gone there to pacify them, to let them know that Krishna would in some time, at some point, he would return. So, although the mission was to soothe them, to give them reassurance, he became so enlivened by their devotion, by their love to Krishna. So it was really the true reason Krishna sent them was not so much to soothe them, they were experiencing Krishna in separation, but to educate him further into what a great devotee acts like, functions like, and experiences. And the ultimate conclusion that Uddhava came to was that, my dear Lord, I pray and I hope that I will be born in Vrindavan in my next birth, and that these gopis, these great lovers of your lotus feet, who never forget you, always remember you, are filled with ecstatic love for you. May I be walked over by their lotus feet. If you will do that, my position, which I have now, will be so much more exalted than it is today. I will truly become a lover on the highest level due to the mercy of obtaining or receiving the dust of the feet of these incredibly marvelous milkmaids or gopis of Vrindavan. So there you have, I'm trying to bring out this point that one absorbs the qualities of the Supreme Lord by this kind of meditation, this kind of appreciation. Ah, I have this holy name. I have Krishna. How fortunate I am. How gracious the Lord is. I have committed so many offenses throughout my life and lifetimes. And in spite of that fact, Krishna ignores them, disregards them, doesn't even think about them, but says, here, take my holy name, become clean, become purified, and come back to me. No vengeance, no hostility, no anger, but you've come back, my child, and I want to do everything possible that I can to bring you back to me in my eternal realm. So when we chant with this feeling of great gratitude, the effect is completely different than when you don't chant with that feeling. I've done both, and I've seen both. I know the difference. One arouses and stimulates the heart, and one feels affection. One feels intense desire to want to associate with the Supreme Lord. One feels intense desire to serve the Supreme Lord, to surrender to the Supreme Lord, to sacrifice to the Supreme Lord, to give one's everything and all, hold nothing back, my body, my mind, my intelligence, my feelings, my memory, all these belong to you, Lord. My property is yours, my car is yours, my house is yours, my body is yours, my clothes are yours, everything is yours to do what you want to do with them. Please use me as your instrument. May your will and not my will be done. So the devotee generates these types of sentiments and feelings in the course of chanting with love in his heart. And by so doing, Krishna reciprocates and gives his love, gives his affection, gives his warmth, gives his direction. All these come as a result of the devotee taking it. Prabhupada uses these two words over and over and over. Be serious and be what? Yes. Yeah, I'm very happy to hear that. Because he uses them so many times. And why does he use them? Because we have a tendency to not be serious, rather to be playful, to be frivolous, frolicsome, and take this very cheaply sometimes. So by Prabhupada repeating these words, he's saying us, get serious. Get on target. Get moving. Get focused. Don't think it's going to come to you just with this attitude of indifference or thoughtlessness or playfulness. No. We have gotten a gift, and that's the attitude. And a gift which we don't deserve. That's why it is called causeless mercy. There's no justification for it. We don't deserve it. We shouldn't have it. But because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind, so gracious, he came and he set this movement in motion. This is the Yuga Dharma. This is the Sankirtan Yajna to get everyone and anyone to please chant this holy name. Because as soon as they hear the holy name, the process of liberation has begun and Krishna takes up that person's cause and will work and guide him or her ultimately back home, back to Godhead. Some will take a few minutes, some will take a few years, some will take a few hundred years, some may take a few thousand years, but the Lord will deliver because that's what he promises. So, getting back to the next verse translation, one should strictly follow the principle of always chanting the holy name. And one should be satisfied with whatever he gets easily. Such devotional behavior solidly maintains one's devotional service. Yeah. One who thinks himself... Now, we're getting another quote of that third stanza of the Shikshastika. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, one who is more tolerant than a tree, one who does not expect personal honor, yet is always prepared to give all respects to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. Purport. The grass is specifically mentioned in this verse because everyone tramples upon it, yet the grass never protests. This example indicates that a spiritual master or leader should not be proud of his position, being always humbler than an ordinary common man. He should go on preaching the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Another most important instruction. To be tolerant, more tolerant than a tree. The tree is snowed on. Tree is rained on. People take their knives and they carve out hearts. Johnny loves Jenny and with an arrow going through it. But you don't hear the tree saying, hey, stop, stop, don't do that. He just accepts it. So the point is being made here is that in the course of our lives, people will insult us, they will ignore us, be indifferent to us, afflict us, affront us. So many things will happen. But Lord Chaitanya is saying, they're just words. Ignore them. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me. We all learned that when we were in grammar school, didn't we? So it won't harm you. But if you've got a big, humongous false ego, you think it will help harm you. Humongous false ego means I am this body. This body is great. Through and with this body, I accomplish this, I accomplish that. People praise me. People honor me. People glorify me. They applaud me. Well, I'm wonderful. How dare you insult me? You're not even a fraction of my height in accomplishment. So when a person begins to think in those terms, then what happens? He's offended. He's disturbed because of pride. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says here that one should be more tolerant than a tree. Now, don't expect honor from anyone. Why shouldn't we expect honor from anyone for some great accomplishment? Because we really didn't do it. Who did it? Krishna tells us who did it. You have the right to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself Never consider yourself, anyway, never consider yourself to be the doer, because ultimately I'm the doer. I enable, I allow, I generate. All you can be is the instrument. Krishna allows us to walk, to talk, to use our hands, use our mind, use our brains. He enables us to develop talents. And all of this comes by His mercy. Now, we get certain karma. Let's just say you've done some pious activities. If Krishna doesn't want to allow us to become successful or to become fruitful, He doesn't have to. All karma is under His control, ultimately. So, therefore, no one has the right to feel proud of anything he does. He has to feel proud of Krishna. Yes, Krishna has enabled me. Krishna is supporting me. He's using me as an instrument. So, let me give praise to Krishna. Let me honor Krishna. Let me glorify Krishna. Let me applaud Krishna, because ultimately, He deserves it. I don't deserve it. As I said, He could cut me off at any moment. Maybe I'm a great movie star, or I'm a great basketball star, or political star, whatever it may be. He can end it in a second. He has that power. He lives in the heart. He can stop the nervous system from working. He can paralyze us in a second. As I speak now, somebody's being paralyzed someplace in the world. So, therefore, we give all credit, we give all praise, we give all honor, we give all thanks to Krishna. And when we make Krishna our end-all and be-all in this manner, Krishna reciprocates and fills us, floods us, enthuses us with such joy and happiness and fulfillment and satisfaction. We don't have to go anywhere to get satisfaction. It's aroused within us, as the wonderful verse goes in the Bhagavad Gita. A liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme Lord. Last part, very important, concentrates on the Supreme Lord, which is what I said at the outset of today's talk. He focuses on the Lord, whether it's in the there's so many ways of focusing on the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj mentions all nine of them, and it gives us a vast opportunity to focus on Krishna through those any one of those nine ways. Although the most important, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasizes, is the chanting of the holy name and the listening while we chant, or listening to the kirtan as it is going on, the bhajans going on. Hearing the holy name. Chanting the holy name, remembering the holy name, serving the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, worshipping the Lord, offering prayers to the Lord, having friendly association to Krishna, surrendering our body, our mind, and our speech to the Lord. All these are different ways of remembering the Lord, focusing upon Him, concentrating Him. Some devotees have more talents for example, music, so they play on harmonium or the kartels, and they chant or do these the chanting, the kirtans, the bhajans. The most important thing is that the Lord be, as the verse says, focused upon. And done with this feeling of that we have such an, it's such a great grace. And as long as we keep this idea that it is an incredible grace, not something earned, but something given simply out of mercy. And if we think that, then we too will become merciful just as Krishna is. And that is what this movement is all about. It's all about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. He is called, or as we say in the prayer, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other incarnation of God. He's more magnanimous than any other incarnation of God because He is bestowing what no one else has ever given, pure love of Krishna. Yes, Krishna gave love, but when he lived, but he generally gave it to those persons who were devotionally inclined. But Lord Chaitanya goes out and he gives it to persons, everyone and anyone, as we will see in the following verses. It doesn't matter what your color is. It doesn't matter how smart you are, how dumb you are. It doesn't matter how much ability you have. It doesn't matter if you're the lowest on the totem pole amongst the Kshatriyas or the highest, or you're the topmost Brahmin or the lowest, or you're just a Shudra, or you're even below a Shudra. To Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave it out to everyone. Everyone was worthy as far as he was concerned. Even those criminals, Jagai and Madai, they were common criminals. One of them even threw a clay cup against Lord Nityananda while there was a kirtan going on. But Lord Nityananda, he didn't protest. He didn't bother him. He just went on with the singing. But Lord Chaitanya heard about it, and he was going to kill this Jagai and Madai. He put up his finger, and the chakra began whirling, ready to cut their heads off. But Nityananda stopped them. He says, No, don't do that. In this age, you don't kill with weapons. You kill their barbaric or savage or low-class mentality. And besides, he said that Jagai stopped Madai from throwing the cup, another cup. So then Lord Chaitanya says, then I'm very much in his debt. So he went over to Jagai and he gave him a big hug. There was so much transcendental electricity in that hug that poor Jagai, he couldn't handle it. He just passed out. And then Madai said, he's my brother. What's good for one is good for another. Otherwise, you're being very discriminating and prejudicial. Can I get the same? So Lord Chaitanya says, your case is not so simple. So then he knew he was going to get killed. So he threw himself down at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. He says, I know I deserve it. I should get it. Nonetheless, give me one benediction that in my next life I will come back and become your devotee. So when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he says, that changes everything. He lifted him up. He gave him a big, heavy bear hug. And Madai passed out also. So the kirtan party then moved on to, Srivas Thakur's place. And the two drunkards, criminals, were just sprawled out on the street there. People were wondering, is this for real? Is this true? Anyway, what happened was that finally they got up and the kirtan was going on in Srivas Thakur's house. And they got up and they timidly knocked on the door. They were wondering whether they'd be allowed to come in. So the door was open, and they could see that the transformation that had taken place in these two criminals. They were humble now. They were ready to do whatever the Lord asked them to do. So they were welcomed in. And believe it or not, they started dancing and chanting and clapping and doing all this. And then even Nityananda Mahaprabhu was saying, look at them. They're dancing. They're chanting. This is unbelievable. And this all came from the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that mercy is available to all of us. And we're all receiving it in greater or lesser degree. But our desire, if we want to rescue, we want to relieve, we want to transform persons in this world, we need more and more of that transformative mercy, which when people feel it, when people see it, when people sense it, they automatically, like moths are attracted to a fire, they can't help it, even though they get burned up. People will want to be attracted to Krishna, not concerned whether they get burned up in the fire of sacrifice to the Supreme Lord, because the Lord becomes all lovable, completely focused upon, fully satisfying and deserving of our surrender and our submission and our love. So when a person is brought to that position, that condition, Sometimes it takes a long time. But Lord Chaitanya, he used to generate that almost instantly in people. He was traveling down to South India. He would give a person a hug, say, chant, chant the holy name. They would be quivering in ecstasy and chanting. And then he would tell to somebody, and then that person would be quivering in ecstasy. That is a very remarkable potency, which Lord Chaitanya did not even exhibit, generally speaking, when he was in Bengal. It was turned on for his tour, when he traveled. So we all have this very, very wonderful opportunity to become better and better representatives of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Without Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we can't know anything about Lord Chaitanya. So we have so much, so much to be thankful for. So I'll go to the next. Raising my hands, I declare, everyone please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. That verse is the third stanza of the Shikshastika. One should chant the holy name in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Why constantly? Why should we be able to chant the name constantly? Means you never want to stop. Because when one chants in that mood that I've just mentioned of that verse, one becomes slowly but surely filled, flooded, you might say drowned in the bliss of ecstasy. Well, when you're getting ecstasy from something, you don't want to stop. For example, all of us probably, at least most of us, like ice cream. So you take ice cream, you take a lick of it, you want another and another. Or you take some honey, you take more and more. You don't want to stop because it's so delightful, so delicious. Similarly, when you hit the holy name, which is 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 times more intense in pleasure, then you don't want to stop. What's more, you're feeling Krishna's holy presence in the form of bliss from that name. Purport. When chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, in the beginning one may commit many offenses, which are called Namabhas and Nama Aparad. In this stage, there is no possibility of achieving perfect love of Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore, one must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to the principles of the above verse. Very important point. One must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to the principles of that third stanza of the Shikshastika. So it's a good thing to do, as it says, we should. It's very nice that one should string this verse on the thread of the holy name, so that when we are chanting, we keep in mind that we are insignificant, lower than the straw in the street, worthless, useless, good for nothing, unless Krishna gives us his mercy. And then we may be good for something, we may become important, we may become valuable, but only because Krishna has given us his mercy. Without that mercy, we are zero. So when we chant in that manner, realizing how tiny, insignificant we are, how great, how glorious, how grand, how amazingly magnificent and magnanimous the Lord is, then it becomes easy to chant. Because all of our pride, arrogance, vanity, conceit, all of these qualities slowly but surely vanish. And as they vanish, what replaces them? Krishna's mercy replaces them. To the degree that we give up our pride, our arrogance, our envy, and our anger, to the degree that we give them up, to that degree, Krishna, as Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So he rewards us with what? Himself. And there is no greater, no higher, no better, no more powerful, beneficial gift that we could ever receive than the gift of his holy self. And the gift of our appreciation of all the great Vaishnavas who've afforded us, enabled us, helped us to come to that wonderful, remarkable stage. It's not that we just achieved it. It's like Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji, going back further and further, all back to Krishna. All of them have been contributory to enabling us to come to the point where we can actually say, Krishna, please help me to love you purely. If we can come to that point, then we have achieved something very, very wonderful. Therefore, one must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to the principles of the above verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, Turodapi Sahishnuna. One should note in this connection that chanting involves the activities of the upper and lower lips as well as the tongue. All three must be engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The words Hare Krishna should be very distinctly pronounced and heard. Sometimes one mechanically produces a hissing sound instead of chanting with the proper pronunciation with the help of the lips and tongue. Chanting is a very simple, but one must practice it seriously. Again, this word seriously. Therefore, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj, what's the third word? Yes, Goswami, advises everyone to keep this verse always strung about his neck. It's a very nice idea. Very often people carry pendants around their neck, and they have like a little heart in it. And inside they may have a husband, may have a picture of his wife and his kid, or vice versa. Or a girl, young girl, she has a boyfriend, she puts that pendant around her neck, when it hits, it rests on the heart. So that's the idea there. Someone you love, someone you treasure, someone you cherish, someone who's dear to you, you want to keep them close to your heart. So no verse should be more dear to us than this third stanza of the Shikshastika when we are chanting Krishna's holy name. And it's good to think, because a person whom we have some affection for. So this verse we should have incredibly intense affection for, because it will lead us out of the material world back to the spiritual world. This is the direct instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One must strictly follow the principles given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this verse. If one simply follows in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and the Goswamis, certainly he will achieve the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regularly led congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the house of Srivas Thakur every night for one full year. This ecstatic chanting was performed with the doors closed so that non-believers who came to make fun could not gain entrance. So I'll stop here before concluding the class. First, thank you all very much for being attentive to this class. Are there any questions or comments that anyone would like to make? Is there? Yes. Thank you. Yes, it was more, generally these were reserved for Brahmins. Brahmins were generally given that type of education. Or if a person was in a lower caste, if he showed a great degree due to past life activities, his devotional activities, and he had a strong tendency, then yes, he could be given the holy name. But in general, for the general mass of people, it was generally not. They were simply given religious activities to perform. You do certain rituals, you go to the temple, you listen to the discourse of the priest, and so forth. But this was something very special, that when he would give it out to everyone, anyone, no bars, no discrimination, no limitation. And the way he would present it is, I have all this I've brought. And he would go to a place, I have all these holy names to distribute, and I'm still stuck with the sack of them, and I've got to get them out so that everybody gets it. This is the way he would speak. So, therefore, Lord Chaitanya is very, very special for this reason. He is truly the savior of this world. And when I say the savior, I mean that by setting in motion this holy name, everyone is promised liberation in due course of time. This is remarkable, amazing.
How come the success that Prabhupada had with the entity of Krishna consciousness movement with Krishna consciousness movement, we could actually say that Lord Chaitanya's initiation of the mantra is a victory here?
It definitely is, yes. It sure is a victory. of course, we can make that victory even more victorious by chanting it with the feelings that I did mention a few moments ago. Yeah. Thank you very much. Nice question. All right, anybody else? All right. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Hare Krishna.
Is that where you left off?
Yeah, right here. We're up to this verse right here, okay. Which is 35.
Thank you.
Okay.
Go to the songbook. I believe they'll have there are 8 verses in the Shikshastika. You have a little songbook?
Yeah.
You'll find it there. Shikshastika, and then go to the third verse, the one I just want you to chant the holy name of the Lord. Like the first one, you know it. Okay. Like all glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated from years. That's number 1. And then it goes to number 2. Okay. Yeah. Hare Krishna.